The Devil Within, the hit true crime podcast, is back with a terrifying journey into the mind of a madman. In the 1970s, New York City had it all. Hip-hop, punk rock, and the Son of Sam. The Devil Within, A Season in Hell, is available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, listeners. I'm your host, Amara, and this is Black Girl Gone, a true crime podcast. On this episode of Black Girl Gone, I tell the story of Celine Eady, a 15-year-old girl who was found dead on April 17th, 2004. Celine was living with her mother in Columbia, South Carolina, when she disappeared on April 15th. At around 7:30 p.m., she left her home to walk to a friend's house. Shortly after that, Celine vanished. 2 days later, in Richland County, her body was found burning near a highway. She had been beaten before being set on fire. When the investigation into her murder began, detectives were hopeful they would solve this murder quickly. But 20 years later, the person responsible for her murder has never been found. What happened to Celine that April night? And who is responsible for her murder? This is Celine's story. Celine Eady, murdered at 15, never got a chance at life. Placed in the system at an early age, her life was a series of tragedies that ended in her brutal murder. Her story is a tragic reminder of how vulnerable girls like Celine are and how susceptible they are to becoming victims. The story of what happened to this young girl is a devastating story, senseless in every way imaginable, but it's also unsolved. The person who brutally murdered this 15-year-old girl has never been found. Celine Eady was born on August 14, 1988, but there's no public information about the first year of her life or who her biological family was. But when she was about a year old, Celine began living with a foster family, Brenda McCoy and her husband. The family lived in a quiet neighborhood in Columbia, South Carolina, and after 2 years of fostering Celine, the McCoys officially adopted her when she was 3 years old. Brenda later said that she adopted Celine because she wanted to give her a stable home. She didn't want her bouncing from house to house. For a while, their home was stable. Brenda worked in social services and had also adopted another child, a boy named Eugene, and then eventually another little girl named Destiny. Not much information is known about Brenda's husband, but according to reporting, Brenda said he and Celine were very close. As a child, Brenda said that Celine had an independence about her from a young age. She would try to cook and she liked to do things for people. For the first 2 years after the McCoys adopted Celine, it seemed like everything that was going on was going well. Adoption comes with adjustments for both the children and the parents, but by all accounts, it seemed like the McCoys were doing their best to give their children a happy life. But when Celine was 5 years old, things for the family took a turn. Her adopted father, Brenda's husband, suddenly died of a heart attack. Brenda said that Celine took her father's death very hard. As I said before, according to her, the two were very close, and after he died, Brenda said that Celine was never really the same. After her father's death, Celine began acting out, and her behavior became increasingly more difficult to deal with. Despite the challenges, however, Brenda tried her best to keep Celine on track. As a teenager, she began attending Draher High School. At school, she was a member of the dance team and the ROTC. Celine and her family attended church regularly where she would volunteer. Outside of school and church, she loved writing and music, and in many ways seemed like a typical teenager. But Celine was dealing with a lot, and as she got older, her behavior became even more difficult for Brenda to deal with. She began hanging with what Brenda described as the wrong crowd. People who lived nearby Celine and her family said they would often see her walking around the neighborhood with other teens. People who knew her said she was always well-dressed and her hair was always done, but that her well-maintained appearance was covering up what was inside, a troubled girl. The mother of a friend of Celine's told a local paper that she had a wonderful spirit. She was just searching for something she couldn't find. One of those things that Celine was searching for was her birth parents. As she had gotten older, she had begun asking more and more about her biological family. Brenda said that they tried to find information about Celine's parents, but had been unable to find anything. The lack of information about who she was and where she came from probably added to the feelings of confusion and frustration that Celine was feeling. Eventually, her rebellious behavior went from rule-breaking to running away. Brenda said that she would ground Celine, but she would sneak out of the house through a window or the back door. She said that she did everything she could to punish Celine, but the more she tried, the more her daughter pulled away. When Celine first began high school at Dreher, she was involved in various activities and seemed to be adjusting well, but halfway through her freshman year, she was expelled from the high school. According to Brenda and a friend of Celine's, she was expelled for cursing at another student. After the expulsion, she was sent to an alternative school called Alston Wilkes Alternative School. And once at the school, Celine stayed out of trouble, but at home, her behavior continued to be an issue. She was still running away despite Brenda's best efforts to discipline her. According to people in the neighborhood, Celine wasn't just running away, however. She was getting involved in risky behavior with grown men. Neighbors of Celine and Brenda said that Celine had begun hitchhiking and accepting rides from men in their 20s. People who knew Brenda said that they felt sorry for the single mother. They believed that she had done everything she could for her daughter. On several of the occasions when Celine ran away, Brenda had filed missing persons reports, and so the local police were well aware of her history of running away. People tried to warn Celine that she should not be getting in and out of cars with men she didn't know, but they said she didn't listen. The mother of another one of Celine's friends said that she was quote-unquote trying to act grown and that she had a quote-unquote mouth on her. There seemed to be little sympathy for Celine. She was to most people just a troubled teen, and she was troubled, but there was clearly something that Celine needed. It's not clear whether or not Brenda ever tried to put Celine in therapy, but it was very possible that Celine had experienced traumas before her adoption that were affecting her ability to cope. The sudden death of her father could have been a trigger, which would explain the change in her behavior after his death. We really have no idea, but what we do know is that at 15 years old, Celine was a child. She did not have the ability to make good decisions. She was clearly dealing with a lot, and it had manifested itself into rebellion that led her down a dangerous path. On April 15th, 2004, Celine was at home when she decided that she was going to go for a walk. By this point, it wasn't unusual for Celine to leave the house without telling her mom where she was going. But according to reports, her plan was to go around the corner to her friend's house. In the neighborhood where Celine lived, people were aware of the teen's propensity to run away or be out without permission. And so that day, when a neighbor spotted Celine leaving her house around 7:30, she decided to call Brenda and let her know that Celine was outside and appeared to be wandering around. When Brenda received the call, she went outside to find her daughter and ask her where she was going. But according to Brenda, when she tried to ask Celine where she was going, she refused to answer her. After trying to get information from her daughter to no avail, Brenda settled in her frustration as she watched her daughter walk off into the evening. It had become a routine for Celine to vanish for hours on end and not tell her mom where she was, and so Brenda assumed Celine would eventually come back home as she had done countless times before. But little did Brenda know, this time would be different. As the evening wore on, Brenda returned to her home, resigned to the waiting game that she had become accustomed to. As the hours went by, because of her experience dealing with Celine's rebellious streak, Brenda did not immediately panic when her daughter did not return home later that evening. As sad as it is, Brenda had in many ways gotten used to Celine's unpredictable comings and goings. As the clock ticked past midnight and into the early hours of April 16th, 2004, concern began to creep in. It had now been several hours since Celine was last seen, and she had never been gone that long. While she had a history of running away, she typically returned home within a few hours. But this time was different, and as the hours went by, Brenda was starting to get worried that something could be wrong. Now, she had gotten used to Celine's behavior, but this time felt a little different. Brenda found herself dealing with a mix of emotions, from worry to a deep-rooted sense of helplessness. She replayed the events of the previous day in her mind, searching for any clue or sign that might shed light on Celine's whereabouts. But because of Celine's history, Brenda made the choice not to contact police. Now, in her defense, it's unlikely, because of Celine's history of running away, that police would have done much in those first few hours anyway. And so Brenda waited and waited, hoping that the sinking feeling that she had was wrong and that Celine would walk through the door at any minute. But just 2 days after she last saw her daughter, Brenda's worst nightmare would come true. On April 17th, 2004, 2 days after Celine was last seen, firefighters responded to a call for a brush fire. Someone driving along a road in Richland County, near Highway 378, noticed a small fire burning in the distance. Shortly after 5 a.m., firefighters arrived at the scene and began putting out the fire, but they quickly realized that this was no ordinary fire. They had made a gruesome discovery, one that would shake the community to its core. Now, there was no way to identify who their victim was, and there was no way for them to know that just 2 days before, a teenage girl had gone missing. As the door closed on one chapter of the story, another one is opened, and it would be the start of a decades-long search for the truth and justice. Thank you to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples. As the spring months approach, I know those of us who suffer from allergies will be scrambling to find a product that relieves us of our symptoms and actually works. Well, let me introduce you to Astapro. Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray on the market. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray, and Astapro delivers full prescription strength, indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. On April 15th, 2004, 15-year-old Celine Eady left her home in Columbia, South Carolina, and was never seen again. 2 days later, firefighters responding to reports of a brush fire discovered a body burning in a field. When Brenda last saw her daughter, Celine, she refused to tell her where she was going. And after 2 days of not hearing anything from her, she was beginning to worry. But Celine had a history of running away, and so Brenda was reluctant to report her missing. And sadly, she would never get that chance. In the early morning hours of April 17th, 2004, a body had been discovered burning in Richland County. When police arrived on the scene, there was no ID on or near the body, and it was badly burned. They were going to need dental records to confirm the identity. They could tell that the body was that of a young woman, and they had concluded that the person who killed her was trying to cover up evidence by setting her on fire. At the scene, there were tire tracks that detectives believe belonged to their killer, but there was very little evidence at the scene. The body was brought to the coroner's office so that it could be identified. During the autopsy, the medical examiner had determined that the victim had been beaten before being set on fire. There was also soot in the lungs, an indication that they were still alive when they were set on fire, although the medical examiner could not confirm that for sure. It was a brutal, horrific murder, and detectives needed to identify their victim and inform her family. Since there was no ID on the body, investigators looked for missing persons matching the description of the person they found. They discovered that a month before, Celine Eady had been reported missing by her family. Now, Celine had returned after that report was made, but the police were not informed, and so the missing persons report was still active. When detectives found the report, they assumed that Celine was missing that whole time, and so they reached out to Brenda to inform her that they had found a body and that it might be her missing daughter. Brenda was asked to come into the medical examiner's office to identify some of the belongings found on the body. When Brenda came in, she was shown a charm from a necklace that detectives had discovered. And when she saw the charm, she knew it was Celine they had found. The charm was one that she wore on her necklace. After Brenda confirmed that it was in fact her daughter, the medical examiner got a copy of Celine's dental records and was able to confirm that the girl they had found was Celine Eady. Brenda was devastated. The very thing that she had feared the most had happened. Celine was dead and someone had murdered her. Over the years, Brenda had tried her best to protect her from a fate like this. With the confirmation of Celine's identity, the investigation entered a critical phase, uncovering the person responsible for her murder and unraveling the mystery surrounding her tragic death. The sheer brutality of the murder sent shockwaves through the community and left investigators with the realization that Celine likely was murdered at the hands of someone she knew. Diving deeper into Celine's tumultuous life, investigators discovered a web of complexities that may have led to this point. Interviews with Brenda and those closest to Celine unveiled a troubling pattern in her life. Known to run away from home, Celine's recent behavior became a focal point in the investigation. Whispers among neighbors painted a disturbing portrait of a girl grappling with inner demons, willingly entering the company of strangers. It was a risky gamble that may have ultimately led her down a dangerous path, one from which she could never return. The possibility loomed large that Celine had gotten in the car with someone who she thought she could trust, or maybe it was a chance encounter gone horribly wrong. As the investigation continued, detectives were having a hard time finding out what exactly happened to Celine after her mother last saw her. As a way to generate leads, investigators working the case turned to the media for help. The days following Celine's body being found, detectives had been unable to account for the 36 hours before she was found. They turned to the public in hopes someone remembered seeing something in the days and hours before she was found. No one had come forward to say they had been with Celine or had seen her, and so this only added to the mystery. Finding out exactly where Celine was during that time was going to be critical to solving this murder. But despite speaking to several people and asking the public for help, investigators did not receive any information that could answer their questions. In the weeks after Celine's murder, investigators had begun to try and find evidence that could ultimately lead to the identity of their suspect. While local media outlets began covering the story, Brenda initially chose not to do media interviews. It was a difficult time for her and her family, and she chose not to speak to the news. Investigators continued their pursuit of leads, combing through every available piece of information in the hope of piecing together the puzzle surrounding Celine's murder. Yet, as the weeks stretched into months, the trail began to grow cold. Despite their efforts, the case of Celine's murder seemed to get further and further away from being solved, leaving both investigators and her family with unanswered questions. With each passing month, the urgency to find new leads intensified, and the passage of time threatened to obscure vital clues and lessen the chances of getting justice for Celine and closure for her family. In 2005, a year after Celine's murder, Brenda sat down for her first interview about her daughter's death. During the interview, Brenda spoke about the challenges she faced raising Celine in those final years of her life and the toll her murder had taken on her and her other children. Detectives said in that article featuring Brenda's interview that they believed that this case was solvable. They hoped that after a year, someone would come forward and give them those few pieces they were missing. In 2007, Celine was featured on playing cards that are used to bring awareness to missing person cases and unsolved murders. Missing persons and unsolved murder playing cards are decks of cards designed to raise awareness about cold cases and aid in generating leads for law enforcement investigations. Each card in the deck typically features a photograph and important information about a missing person or an unsolved homicide victim. These decks are often distributed to inmates and correctional facilities, as well as to the general public through various channels such as community events, law enforcement agencies, and online platforms. The idea is to keep the cases in the public eye and potentially trigger memories or prompt someone with information to come forward. By incorporating these cases into a familiar format like playing cards, authorities hope to engage a wider audience and increase the likelihood of someone coming forward with crucial tips or information that could lead to resolving the case. In South Carolina, back in 2007, the card decks were distributed to the 24,000 male and female inmates in the state. Celine being added to the deck gave people who loved her hope that this would bring attention to her case. But now, for some reason, Celine was listed as being 20 years old on her card, but nonetheless, no significant leads came in following her being featured on the cards. In the years following, Celine's case remained cold, and after 2007, there were very few articles about her murder investigation. In 2005, police said that this murder was solvable. But 20 years later, no one has ever been held responsible for what happened to Celine. Brenda had Celine cremated, and she kept her ashes at home until what would have been her 18th birthday. And then she buried her next to her father and Brenda's late husband. She said she kept the ashes until she was 18 because that's how old Celine would have likely been when she went off to begin her own life. For years, Brenda tried to find answers. She was interviewed in 2017 and talked about how even after all that time, her daughter's murder had not gotten any easier for her to deal with, especially since she did not know what really happened. Sadly, Brenda will never get those answers because in 2020, Brenda McCoy died. As the years go on, Celine's unsolved murder continues to cast a long, haunting shadow over all who knew her and the community she once called home. Despite the passage of time, her murder remains for many as raw as ever, a constant reminder of the profound injustice that stole her from this world. As easy as it is to judge, we must remember that at the center of this tragic story is a 15-year-old child. A child that was born with the odds stacked against her. A child who needed more and deserved better. She wasn't an adult. She was a lost little girl trying to find herself. Her running away and not following her mother's rules perhaps made her more vulnerable. But nothing she did could justify someone beating her almost to death before setting her on fire. Someone knows what happened to this child 20 years ago. Someone heard something. And although Brenda is not here to see justice served, it is not too late to do the right thing. Whoever did this to Celine should be in prison because her murder was heinous. Celine Eady was last seen on April 15th, 2004, near her home on Fountain Lake Road in Columbia, South Carolina, around 7:30 p.m. She was found dead 2 days later in Richland County, South Carolina. If you have any information about her murder, please contact Columbia, South Carolina Crime Stoppers or the Richland County Sheriff. May Celine Eady rest in peace.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, and Threads.